Okay, so sorry for that little technical problem. So our next presenter is going to be Dr. Yeti Fakili, who is a microbiologist from the Laboratory Reference and Research Branch at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention in the Division of STD and Prevention. So, and she is going to be talking about, as she says, instead of old dog, it's old disease, new tricks. So, Yeti.
Hi, good morning. So again, I'm Yeti. So actually, I was on the train this morning. Trains are nice. I don't get to take it often. And I was looking through the schedule, trying to figure out where I was. And I found out that I had old dog, new tricks. And I was like, no, it's wrong. It should be old disease, new tricks. So when I went to the media room, everybody said they liked the dog. So we just So I must have been in a bad mood that day. So I come out from the lab branch. And that long name just substituted for syphilis. So, what do I do? Okay, so very briefly, I just feel that I need to do this just to, say, fulfill all righteousness. So I'm going to skip through background of syphilis, some quick facts, diagnosis, syphilis testing algorithm, the evolution of the test that we have for syphilis today, and some description of some of the rapid tests that are front runners, the future, and just highlight the need. And I'm probably preparing the ground for that session tomorrow that you don't want to miss at 10:45, talking about rapid point of care test. So that was a free advert right there. So according to the WHO, for 2012, this is the estimated global prevalence of STIs. And even though syphilis is not quite there, but that is still a problem. So within the United States, as of 2008, to your left, you will see the prevalence of STI infections in the United States. And for that year, there were estimated new STIs, and syphilis was just a little over 55,000. Which still translates to a high burden and quite a lot of medical costs incurred. So very quickly, syphilis is caused by T. pallidum, and I'm sure we have people that have written a lot of things about that in this room. Transmission is sexual, could be sexual, maternal fetal route, and rarely by blood transfusion these days. Left untreated, multiple stages, primary, secondary, latent, and tertiary. And of course, it's a complication. It can cause a lot of complication in pregnancy, leading to multiple adverse symptoms and congenital syphilis. And of course, very significantly, syphilis increases the risk of acquiring HIV, especially in high-risk populations. But this is such a shame. You don't have to have syphilis because it's easily treated and adverse outcomes can be prevented. There's that dog. So I must have seen this before I came up with my title. So can we teach this very, very old dog new tricks or find ways of tricking it? So that's probably what clouded my judgment. So for now, diagnosis of syphilis, ideally, you want to see a physical examination of the patient, patient history, which can a lot of times be very inaccurate. But this is not always the case. Then, of course, the culture of T. pallidum, for no good reason, is almost near impossible. And this has been a very big challenge, so that is not a good option. Direct detection can also be used, but only if the lesion is seen and if there's a seasoned doctor or the patient happens to come in and has that. So most of this is going to focus on serology. And to detect by serology, you need two different types of tests. You need the non-treponemal test, which is non-specific, that detects antibodies directed towards lipodal antigens or damaged host cells and possibly from treponemes. But these are non-specific and could come up reactive due to a whole lot of other things, being pregnant, being old, having an autoimmune disease and a whole bunch of factors. So then the treponemal antibodies can be detected by the treponemal test, and these antibodies are more direct. But once you've had syphilis, even after successful treatment, you tend to still keep those antibodies, whether you like it or not. So I have that little one that says it's going to drive you crazy, and it's driving us crazy. So then the question comes, what test do I use? Should I start, since I need the two, should I start with the one or the other? So just very briefly, CDC really does prefer the traditional algorithm, starting with the non-treponemal represented by the RPR, and any reactives are confirmed with the treponemal assay, like the TPPA. And then, you know, we always have reactive, non-reactive, we don't say positive or negative, and then we say syphilis likely, unlikely, because of all the challenges. So, but then come the advent of newer tests for treponemal assays that are much more rapid, could be fully automated, then we switched over to, not CDC, but a lot of folks switched over to starting with the automated assays, and then, of course, that has generated a lot of complications. So, but I'm sure a lot of people know about that. Now we talk about evolution of syphilis tests. It's very interesting that since 1906, since Westermann came out with that complement fixation test, adapted or whatever, for the non-treponemal assay, we really haven't progressed a lot. The non-treponemal tests are still just about a couple of steps away from that. So the traditional assays were mainly manual and were non-treponemal or treponemal, requiring a lot of expertise and a lot of training and somebody that had been on the job for a while. And you needed refrigeration, you know, a whole lot of things. And you needed to be in a good pristine area where the tests were very well reproducible, like very good reference labs. So then we moved on to automated tests or partially automated tests. These are mainly treponemal. We don't have any non-treponemal tests in this range. And you can go from the enzyme immunoassay, which can be partial, and then to tests like the CIAs, represented by one of those lovely instruments. I've had the pleasure of playing with some of them, and they're a lot of fun. So the Bioplex, there's so many of them now, the MBIA, they're very rapid and they go through very fast, which is the attraction to going to the reverse algorithm, because you can test quite a high number. So then now we're down to the rapid syphilis test, which is mainly treponemal for now, but some have been dancing around the non-treponemal assays. But we'll start to see that in a minute. So what I call the RST train is about to depart. For depending on where you are in the United States, it's about to. Now, if you're out of this country, it has already left, because a lot of countries are already using it. But it's such a shame that we're just right here now, because other infections already have this well developed, for HIV, for a lot of viruses. So we need to get on board. So let's go. So I'm going to quickly go through some rapid syphilis tests that are in range, that are front runners, and this is not exhaustive by any means. In the United States, we have the first and only FDA cleared, clear waived, and the syphilis health check by Trinity Biotech. Then the DPP screen and confirm, which has both the TREP, non-TREP. This is circling around the FDA, and they still have some issues to resolve. But internationally, we have a whole bunch. These are the front runners, especially the first three. The Multiplo by MedMiram from Canada, out of Canada. Then the ChemBio again has the HIV syphilis combo. SD Biolen has the HIV syphilis duo. And ST Diagnostics is now Alere, and that is the only one that has the WHO pre-market qualification. ChemBio is approaching them again. The INSTI, I think, is CE marked by Biolytical, and on-site by CTK Biotech. I think this is CE marked as well, but none of these are available in the United States. So we have single syphilis tests as well, the SD BioLine, which is only syphilis only, and the Determine Syphilis by Alere as well. Now, that little picture, on a site visit, I went somewhere out of the country, and they kept telling me I was asking them about their algorithm, and they told me they have the traditional one, that is RPR first plus TPHA. So they kept telling me they have a rapid test. we have a rapid test for RPR. So I felt really stupid. I was like, oh, we missed something at CDC. So I said, can you show me what you have? So on one of those, these are the various, I collect souvenirs. So these are souvenirs. And I could not find a link online to exactly where this, I can't find any information. But it turns out that one of the assays is actually treponemal, but because it says rapid, so they thought they were doing an RPR. And so confirming with the TPH, that just tells you that there's a lot of this thing, there's no oversight, very little regulation, and we don't have any information on performance. So just to go a little bit deeper with the syphilis health check, the performance according to package insert is about 97.6%. Finger stick, most of all these tests say that they can do, they can be used for whole blood, whether it's venous or finger stick, and they can go be used with serum or plasma. So they are very, very simple two-step procedure. I've been able to use this, and 10 minutes, you are done. Room temperature storage. The screen and confirmed by ChemBio is a lateral flow as well, and the specimen size is about 10 microliters, 15 to 20 minutes, but it's just a little bit more complex than the syphilis health check. Now, these are the dual rapid tests. These are the three front runners, and I've been able to use all this, put my hands actually on this three, and these are the pictures in the middle, are the pictures that we have from the lab. So they are very interesting to use. If you're looking at the multiplo, the dot signifies a reactive TP, the line signifies reactive for HIV. So very interesting, but has numerous steps to it. So it's a little bit more complex than the ChemBio. The ChemBio, you know, like I said before, this is the HIV syphilis. It's just a little bit more complex, about 15 to 20 minutes. The SD BioLine was the simplest of the three. It's lateral flow, and you can use any of those sample types, serum, plasma, or whole blood. Your results in about 15 or 20 minutes. You just put your serum, apply your serum, then apply your buffer, and just sit and wait. So the treponemal only RSTs are quite interesting as well. With the determined syphilis of all the ones I've played with, this one was really good because all you did was just put your serum on the strip and you just waited for it to read. There was nothing else to do. SD BioLine 3.0 is a treponemal only, lateral flow as well, and 10 minutes. Very small sample size, 10 microliters. So the rapid syphilis tests that are in view right now, the Biolytical, the INSTI by Biolytical, I believe is CE marked for now and approaching the FDA, and is an immunofiltration device. And the interesting thing about this is 60 seconds, you'll have your results. So we're just about to start playing with that as well in the lab. So the CT Biotech, I think, they're out of Europe. I'm not very familiar with them. Lateral flow as well, and can see all those, can detect antibodies from all those sample types. The microchip assay by Junco Labs in Colombia, this is is a device-driven assay, and this is based on microfluidics. 15 minutes, 1 microliter. So the challenge with rapid tests, I'm just showing you this. I'm not going to delve too hard into it. If you look at the sensitivity and specificity, it goes anywhere from 50-something to 90-something. So but they are not reported like that in the package insert. So you wonder what is going on. Are the staff poorly trained? And I think very much that that is a problem because those devices are so simple. There's a likelihood that you take it for granted. You can have people with poor eyesight or reading in poor lighting, and staff not just properly trained. And even as simple as putting a lateral flow device on a blue lab pad that had ridges and wasn't smooth, we tried that out and it didn't flow very well. So a lot of things could be the reason why we have all these variations, but this just has got to be looked into much, much more deeper to be able to be more comfortable with the sensitivities and specificities. This is also another slide that shows variation. If you're looking at the performance on the TP antibody. You have them in the high 90s, and I don't know why, and I can't testify to. And these are for assays that are being used outside the country. You don't know why there's so much variation. So the basic thing to take away from these two is we need more evaluations in the field and in the lab. Then the future of HIV syphilis tests that are in the pipeline, the microchip, like I said before, I think this is will use a smartphone to read out the results. And there's the Prevenit, which is quite curious, reminds me of GC culture with that plate. And you just immobilize, I don't know, I would love to get my hands on that as well. So those things are still in the works and are probably the future of HIV syphilis tests as well. So in our lab, very proudly, we've been working on a congenital syphilis assay. If you see that we use about 5 microliters of serum or 10 microliters of whole blood. Our developers are John Deutsch and Mayor Shukla, and very sadly, this project was started by Dr. Arnold Castro, who passed away earlier on this year. So for the device that is up there, when you put your sample and the buffer in number one, after some minutes of allowing it to pass through, I think about 5 minutes, then you apply your buffer in number two. So we developed it up to that stage. So if you do that with a sample from the baby's whole blood or serum, what is labeled as the IgM will actually detect IgM TREP non-TREP. And then the other side, that is IgG, will detect IgG TREP non-TREP. So this is in collaboration with the ChemBio, and our results are extremely exciting. And you can imagine that this device, we are envisaging that we will be able to use it for congenital syphilis as well as for acute infection. So it will be two for the price of one. So we're in this device, essentially, we are able for congenital syphilis, essentially able to block the mother's IgG because of a pad that is inside. There's no time to describe the specifics. So once you put the blood of the baby in it, it will grab all the IgG from the mom, and so allowing the IgM to flow through without competition. And so the lines have come up very, very strongly and very encouraging. So there's no refrigeration that is needed. There's no refrigeration needed, and it can use a reader. So we are essentially thinking that we'll be able to quantify this, and we don't know exactly what that is going to mean. So ideally, the characteristics for a point of care test to have some quality to it needs to be affordable. The sensitivity and specificity have got to be good. Has got to be easy to use, because most of the people that you would think would eventually use it would be your nurses or lay people in the clinics. And it has got to be rapid, very fast, so you can test and treat your patient at the same time. Then must be deliverable to developing countries or at least poor resource settings. If it has a self-contained QC, that would be very good, and connectivity, like some of them have now, to capture data. So, what did I do? Oh, why is it going back? Okay. I don't know why it's circling back. Okay, this is the need. This is some of the pictures from places where we visited, and this is supposed to be like a reference lab. So you can imagine what, how much they really would need something like this. Rapid tests are not the ideal, and I get a question at least once a week from somebody out there that says, oh, this rapid test, is it possible to just kick out my TPPA or my TREPS and just use it this fast? I'm like, no, not yet. So in heart, until we get the figures and accurate data in about sensitivity and specificity, in hard to reach areas is good. So the WHO, PAHO, UNICEF, and CDC all have an initiative to prevent mother-to-child transmission of HIV and syphilis. This rapid test could play a very, very big role and help in curbing the incidence of the increase of primary and secondary syphilis in the United States, increase of congenital syphilis in the United States. We need to have them affordable. We need to have them rapid with high sensitivity and specificity. And this will help us to afford the same-day testing, referral for testing, treatment of syphilis, and especially in women with HIV. And I think that's it. So I want to thank Charlotte Gaidos for provision of some of the slides, and my awesome syphilis team members, my branch chief, Dr. Eileen Cash, and my lab branch. Thank you.